Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the ELCA. Today is July 28th, 2019, and we are going to be hearing from Pastor Arnie Berglund. He will read the gospel and provide a sermon. Our gospel reading is the Lord's Prayer in Luke. It is Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. Let's listen in now.
He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" The Gospel of our Lord. Friends in Christ, I know this to be true. Abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I know this also to be true as we gather today in worship and celebrate the baptism of Bryn. When we are buried with Christ in baptism, we are raised through him, with him, through faith in the power of God. It is that faith and hope that gather us together today. As I think of Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer, a phrase has been rolling through my head. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. We've all heard that phrase in the wake of tragedies, in the wake of mass shootings, in the wake of tragedy going on at our borders. It's become the routine offering of condolences from many public figures to victims and their families. And I understand the sentiment. I myself have given thought to that phrase as well, often without thinking. Critics of that suggest that citing only thoughts and prayers without committing to tangible plans is an insufficient way for us to address what is really complex issues. If our prayer isn't accompanied by action, goes the argument, offering them becomes merely a platitude. Is our prayer merely a platitude? Is our prayer really just words we say because we know not what else to say? How do we pray? Why do we pray? Do our prayers make a difference? Now, in our tradition in the Lutheran Church, prayer isn't only an individual discipline that we practice daily on our own, but it's a communal one as well, as we return weekly to Sunday worship. It is not a passive gesture, but one that is active, one that we do as a way of participating in the work that God is directing us towards. in the work that God is already doing. In the Apostle Paul's letter, 1 Thessalonians, he encourages us to pray without ceasing. Prayer is a meaningful practice for us. More regular than others, but we pray. We pray in thanksgiving. We pray when we feel need. We pray in confession. We pray over the concerns of the day. It makes sense that many of our prayers are directed at what we need. In prayer, we admit that we are in need and we ask God to help us, much as Abraham did in our first lesson this morning. We ask God to help us with our needs. If we, however, become too focused on our own needs, Martin Luther said, if we begin to feel that God isn't granting our desires, we miss, I think, the point of prayer. Making prayer about what's happening to us and subsequently feeling that our prayers are not immediately answered begs us then to ask the question, who knows whether God hears us? Who knows whether God gives regard to our prayers? We run the risk at that point of giving up prayer altogether. Rather than getting stuck in the notion that whether or not what we pray makes a difference in our lives, Luther emphasized God's command for us to pray without ceasing, God's promise that our prayers are heard. The first thing to know is this: it's our duty to pray because of God's command. For we've heard, as Luther says, we've heard in the second commandment, you are not to take God's name in vain. Thereby, we are required to praise God's name, to pray or call upon it in every need, for in calling upon God's name, in keeping God's name, we are praying. Within the context of a continuous relationship between us and God, it's not so much a way to mold God to the way we think as it is to allow ourselves in prayer to be formed and shaped by God. Prayer is less about what we understand God to be revealing to us and more about shaping us within that relationship with a God who promises us grace and mercy and forgiveness, the God who promises grace in our lives and in the world. So if prayer is a way of both sharing our concerns with God and enacting our baptismal call to respond to the needs of the world, it's also a means of changing our mindset from one that is focused on ourselves to one that is centered more on God and on one another. A theologian who studies liturgy, Melissa Quivick, wrote, "Prayer is a reorientation away from the preoccupations of this life towards the large, beautiful, and trustworthy realm of God, a form of change, if you will, in one's way of life, of turning towards God and recognizing that daily life is enabled and made gracious when we place ourselves in God's loving hands. Our prayer doesn't change God. Instead, it's really a way of God changing us. God's going to do what God's going to do, even without our prayer. The only one being changed when we pray is us. And that is a very good thing. We don't so much seek God as God seeks us. So prayer isn't about us getting God to see things from our perspective. It's about God getting us to see things from God's perspective. And so we pray, "Thy will be done," not ours, "Thy will be done." It moves us from a place of focus on ourselves towards an outward focus to God and community. I believe this to be true. God hears our prayers, even when we can't find the words to say. In Romans, Paul reminds us, The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit is there for us as we offer our prayers. Immediately before Jesus teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he says, whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you're praying, you do not heap up empty promises as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. But don't be like that, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So when we pray, we should do so with a focus on God and a desire to strengthen that relationship. Jesus says the reward we receive from God through our prayer is the change that God works within us. As we share our needs in prayer in the context of that relationship, we do so in order that we may light a fire in our heart to a stronger faith, a more certain hope. Now, the people of the Old Testament believed worship was fundamentally, all of worship was fundamentally about prayer and praising God. It's evidence in the book of prayers that we call the Psalms. In those 150 Psalms, we find that we encounter a broad range of human emotions, from grief to ecstasy, from anger to joy. Even the Psalms that accuse God of not listening eventually come around to praising God. And so, as a book of prayer, the Psalms have much to teach us about how to pray, both individually and as a community of faith. Prayer is not so much about God granting our wishes or doing what we want or as a way for us to offer platitudes in times of tragedy. We pray because we want to see what God is doing in the world. We pray because we want to join with God and with others in living out God's will and God's love. We pray because we want God to be the center of our lives instead of ourselves. And those changes that take place in us through our life in the seasons of joy and sorrow and struggle, we pray without ceasing, continuing to ask, to seek, to knock on heaven's door. While we pray for those things, it's also true that we pray for what we need and even for what we want. Ask, Jesus says, it will be given to you. Knock, the door will be opened. We pray our Father because we can know the Father. We can know the Father through the Son, Jesus the Christ, who came into the world, who walked where we walked, who lived where we lived, whose mission it is to bring us to new life. And all of that is a revelation of the Father. It comes from the Father. Jesus says, pray this way. And so we do. Not knowing quite how it works, we pray out of faith in the one who brings us life, so that we might grow in faith and in relationship with God and one another. So how do we pray? I know this to be true. We pray as Jesus taught us. Why do we pray? I know this to be true. We pray that we might be changed by God who knows us in the depths of our heart, that we might find comfort in times of need. Do our prayers make a difference? I know this to be true. God is active in and through our prayers. The world is changed through God's activity. May thoughts and prayers never give us a reason not to act. As we are changed, our prayers lead us to live out God's will in our lives, in our communities, and in our world. Amen.